Hey, y'all, you're listening to Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian. You're listening to the only podcast that's number one with Romeo Callers and Rodeo Ballers.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Yeah, I'd love to go on Chicken Shop date. That's my dream.
Yeah, it's okay. I think the editing's a little bit jarring, but it's fine.
You don't like that they just show you like the deep fryer going off right after every sentence?
it's not my favorite, but I think she's good. She's good.
Okay, we got a hater here. Hater alert.
Nope, I'm not a hater. People keep calling me a hater recently. I don't know why. I have nothing but love in my heart.
It's the hater police here to arrest Adrian.
I have nothing but love in my heart.
It's the hater fireman here to put out this hating fire.
Wait, some... All public services are being directed towards me.
Hey, it's a hating ambulance. We got an emergency here.
And they all have the same siren?
Hey, I mean, Adrian, we've been defunding our necessary public services for a long time now. They can only afford one siren.
Oh, can we go off pod for a second? I have two things where I want to talk about where I'm hating.
Yeah, tell me about your hating ass. We're jumping back into the pod here. The audience isn't going to know why the context of bringing this up is. But the concept of deep conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever met somebody who's like, I hate small talk, I like deep conversations?
Let's cut the bullshit.
That really annoys me. I think those people are probably really stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've really fleshed out this idea of why it annoys me, but I always think, like, I don't know, like, sometimes you gotta fill the time and it's kind of nice to just chit-chat. Like, is it really that bad?
I don't think I've met enough people who have that thing about them that I've had to really dissect it. I haven't hung out with a lot of, like, quirky white girls in a long time.
You got to get back on that, buddy.
Ugh, tell you what. No, is there more you wanted to say about that? Or
it just always struck me as, like, I think that might sound cool to say, but have you ever actually thought about how weird the world would be if we didn't do idle chit-chat and we all just were like, so how's your relationship with your dad? Or, like, what about politics? It's like, that would be a weird world. I don't know if I want to live there. I don't know if I... Like, sometimes I just want to be like, yeah, the pizza here is good, but I think it's better across town. I mean, this podcast is built on bullshit like that, so obviously I like it.
I mean, this is going to get into, like, hurting people's feelings territory, but, like, there's a couple of things. Some are less small talk than others, but I think I've already had my fill for a lifetime of people talking about being from the East Coast or being from the West Coast. I think I've had my fill of that for years now, of like having to sit at a table and be like, where are you from? Oh, you're not from California? Oh, you're from the East Coast. So how do you feel about this place? And they're like, well, I got that East Coast allegiance. You know how it is. And it's like, God, just fucking kill me. I'd rather just talk about what your relationship with your mother's like. All right. Yeah. Anything else? What's been going on? How was your holiday week?
Good, man. I saw Disney on Ice. That was fun.
Ooh, okay.
Honestly, I thought we were going to be at the one show where they didn't fill up the magic meter and save Tinkerbell by the end. I was like, fuck, she's going to get murdered by Captain Hook. But by golly, they did it. They saved her life. We filled up the magic meter by the end of the show.
Did you have to sing the song about how I do believe in fairies? I do.
No.
Oh, that's from the movie. Everyone has to chant that. Like it's a Dragon Ball Z thing where everyone puts their hands up.
Now we filled up the magic meter by going through little adventures in multiple Disney intellectual properties.
How much did you participate in that?
Well, I wasn't called on for audio. Like, there was different parts where we all had to shout specific things. I did help shout during those parts, like abracadabra and so on. I wasn't called on for any of the audience participation, but I was jealous of the guy who got called on. They were like, oh, so you said you know how to play guitar, right? Are you ready to play for everybody? I was like, oh, that's fun. I like that they're doing this.
And he was really bad?
They just piped in, like, the actual song from Coco. But the prop that he got to hold was really cool. He got to hold the guitar that looked like the guitar from Coco. I was like, damn, I wish it was me.
Ooh, that's a good photo op.
I want the guitar from Coco.
Mm-hmm. And then the part where they're like, we need someone to wake up Sleeping Beauty with a kiss. And everyone's like, ooh.
Oh, there was one part where there was two girls behind me who were treating it like they were like 6 and 7 years old, something like that. They were treating it like a Jonas Brothers concert. They were so hyped for everything. But the part that cracked me up the most was during Coco, they were skating with these big skeletons. Like, I want to say, like, 10 to 15 feet high. And so, like, they were skating around the rink and there were these big skeletons. As they got close to us, the two little girls behind me are just shouting so loud. They're like, no, scary skeleton, get away! Get away!
Well, that's what Dora the Explorer teaches you to do in a situation like that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. They were following her advice, but it was very cute, if not a little culturally insensitive, but I decided not to cancel those little girls.
Are skeletons a cultural thing?
Yeah, they were,
We all got them.
They were from Coco, though. They were like sugar skull skeletons.
Oh, okay.
It was like for a fake Dias de los Muertos festival that they were having.
Damn, those kids are disrespectful.
I know. You know what? I let it slide, but they should watch themselves. Because
should have turned around and be like that. Hey,
everybody.
That's going to be you one day.
They say the best place to learn about death is at Disney on Ice from a stranger.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What was the concession situation like?
It was pretty pricey. The cotton candy I bought for my niece was like $20.
Damn.
Yeah. But it came with I didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was just a pig mask, but Izzy let me know it's apparently the pig from Moana. I now own that.
I forgot about the pig from Moana.
Yeah, you could either get the cotton candy with a pig mask or a chicken mask, and apparently they were
both the chicken
from Moana. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got the little piggy for your niece?
No, for me. I gave her the cotton candy. I kept the mask. I'll show it to you.
Ooh, nice.
I mean, I did leave it at the house, so I guess it is hers now. Or she has access to it. I'll take it back whenever I want. She can't stop me. She's a baby.
Yeah, they're renting it. Yeah, you're charging them monthly. Oh, it's more of a hat than a mask, but I do like it. Honestly, for $20 and you get the hat, that's kind of a steal.
That's kind of a steal.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, how are we 20 minutes in? Have I been talking about Disney on Ice that long?
No, we talked about things off pod for a while.
All right, did you have a media roundup?
Let's see. My sister was in town for a week, and one of the main things that we had to spend a day doing was part of her job. We went to go visit the Sacramento State Food Pantry and the Davis Food Pantry, which I am sad to say I have never actually utilized because I don't spend that much time actually on campus. I've never been to it before. The Davis Food Pantry was all right, I guess. I mean, I don't want to hate on it. It was okay. It didn't seem as well organized or run. The Sac State Pantry, that was an incredible tour. You know, like how, I think I've described before, liking those, I don't think it's Bon Appetit. I can't remember who, maybe it's Epicurious who does those videos of like, we're going to follow a fish prepper for a restaurant over his 12-hour shift and like just follow him throughout the day. It kind of felt like that, where he just kind of took us through of like all of the ins and outs of running a food pantry. And the guy, the manager there, was just so impressive and thorough. And like, I don't know. I was like, Dorley, you got to be like that guy. Like, I'm gonna go full, like, harsh parent on you. That's who you need to be. That guy fucking rocks.
Was it just because, like, Dorley had asked for a tour to help improve her food pantry?
Yeah, and he had actually been to the Portland.
He kind of went out of his way to...
Yeah, so he had visited Dorley's food pantry, and so she set up an appointment to come to his food pantry to check it out. First of all, never been to the Sac State campus. It's actually pretty nice. It was pretty nice. So I went to their equivalent of, like, their Memorial Union, and then he gave us, like, a two-hour tour of their food pantry. We met some people. We got to see all the ins and outs of it, and it was, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it scratched that itch of, like, just, like, watching a YouTube video of how a restaurant works or something like that. The other thing, I started a new anime that's pretty good. I first heard about it because it won an award during the, like, Crunchyroll Awards last year for Best Comedy, and it is surprisingly hilarious. So if you want a nice, wholesome anime about a shy girl learning how to make friends and be in a rock and roll band, Bocchi the Rock is good, a couple episodes into that. And then today I stopped by the Sacramento Buy Nothing market that was being held at Jackrabbit over by my house. So I was able to stop by there, get a quick beer, and shop around before going to work today. And it was cool. Yeah, it was nice. It was very flea market vibes. It was real. My sister would have gotten a lot out of it. I feel like if she was here, she would have loved going to that. She is a little trash panda.
Yeah, somebody who's run one of those before. We were always really grateful for, because anything that we didn't give away at the event. We ended up just having to like organize and donate. So it was really awesome when somebody would come by and grab a ton of stuff. It's like nice.
No, yeah, the way Sacramento Buy Nothing does is it's whatever you take in with you that doesn't get taken, you have to take with you. The only other thing I'll mention about it is that there was a lot of kid stuff, so it was good in that sense too. I could tell that it was a nice family event.
Yeah, same. We had a couple families come through. Ours was clothing though, not knickknacks.
Oh, ours was anything. Yeah, there were a lot of clothes, a lot of toys, a lot of books. Yeah.
Alrighty. Oh wait, we have to get into the theme. What am I? I'm skipping a step.
Yeah. The theme. What do we got?
Cowboys versus Indians. Cowboys and Indians. Which exactly. Can we start this theme? I'm not the type of person that has to do this before any formal organized event.
Mm-hmm.
Should we start with a land acknowledgement if we're going to do a Indian as our theme?
Okay.
All right. For Charlotte, we have the Catawba, Chira, Sugary, Watery, and Waxaw peoples.
Okay. And I'm in Davis, so I'm on Patwin land, mostly stewarded by three different tribes whose names I don't know off the top of my head.
That being said, when people say cowboys versus Indians, they're talking about a very, like, American West stereotyped version of Indian. A very, through the white gaze.
Mm-hmm. And the white streets.
Come on now.
I feel like this is one of those things where if Dora Lee was in the pod, she'd be making a strong statement about how cowboy aesthetic all comes from Mexico or something.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think that makes it less of an oppressor aesthetic because it's still, like, Spanish Mexicans.
Nah, Mexico, baby!
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's still, like, as much the oppressor, even if it is also, like, Mexican and Tejano.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Cowboys and Indians as a kid? I didn't. I feel like that's a real 1950s game.
We played Cops and Robbers.
Yeah.
Or Smear the Queer.
Childhood was so offensive.
Those kids, man.
Oh, at my niece's pre-preschool, you know, like the earliest school they get sent to, instead of an offensive Indian headdress for their Thanksgiving party, they made turkey headdresses, which were just the same thing. It was feathers on a headband, but it was to make you look like a turkey. So they really found a loophole.
And what, were you offended? SJ Dubs?
What else does this evoke for you?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and cheat because I'm looking at your article, but the picture does have a farrier on it. And I think I've mentioned to you that that's one of my, like, weird obsessions that the algorithm has figured out is that I really like watching videos of farriers, which I don't think is a cowboy. It's technically a separate job, but, you know, it's close enough. It's something I spend a weird amount of time watching.
Those are the people that do the horseshoes?
They're the people who, like, trim down and, like, clean up the hooves and then, yeah, get them suited for horseshoes.
I've seen a couple of those videos, and I get why they can kind of be satisfying, but they also are kind of nasty, and I avoid them. They're like,
Those are two sides of the same coin, yeah. But anyways, going back to cowboys, I never really liked Westerns. Never watched a lot of spaghetti Westerns or anything like that. Famous Cowboys. Woody.
The Buffalo Bill crew.
Mm-hmm.
Woody from Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them. Saw them last week.
What? Was there a snake in his boot?
No.
It
was on Disney on Ice.
Mm.
Yeah, which Buffalo Bill is a funny, like, representative of, like, one of the top icons of Western culture, which is all about masculinity. But the whole Buffalo Bill thing was that he's just, like, a theater kid. So I do like that juxtaposition.
I don't actually know the lore behind this.
It was a show. It was a famous show where they would do, like, sharpshooting and, like, lasso tricks. Like, I guess they would do a bunch of, like, Old West stuff. They toured Europe and stuff, and I guess he is one of the most famous cowboys, but, like, ultimately, Buffalo Bill and the crew were all just theater kids.
So why are we using quotation marks? What makes him not a cowboy?
I think the fact that he wasn't working on a ranch herding cows professionally. I didn't bring in this advice column, but there was, I guess there's a cowboy poet, is like a modern conception of a cowboy, and there was an advice column.
I just know Andy Daly's character. I don't know any actual ones.
Yeah, well, it's like five different cowboy poets answer the same question every week, but none of them were that interesting. The questions were like obviously not user like submitted. They were like one sentence, like, what's the day in the life of a cowboy? Like, you know, it was obviously like the publication were writing like little FAQ questions, and then all five would answer like, what's the day of the in the life of a cowboy poet?
It was like, how much jewelry should I buy my wife for her for our anniversary? And he was like, you must buy your wife at least as much jewelry as you buy your horse and other tales, both comic and otherwise, from a life out on the range. What about the Pioneer Woman? You didn't know about her. You
didn't know about her.
She's a redheaded lady living out on the range and somewhere in Oklahoma or whatever, who teaches you how to cook homestyle cooking from that kind of environment. It was my brother and his ex's like Sunday morning ritual to watch Pioneer Woman.
It was like how to cook up a bison steak.
Nah, it's regular. It's regular ass recipes. It's like how to cook potatoes.
Regular recipes, like how to cook potatoes.
How to cook potatoes.
Then she'd be like, wrap it in some tinfoil and throw it in the oven. 375, 40 minutes, you're done. Not much harder than that.
And then every single, they'd show a couple of clips every now and then of like the farm work her kids and her husband were doing. And then they'd all round up at the end of the day or for breakfast or whatever. And, you know, she had to have a hearty meal for her cowboys and her cowpokes.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the flip side to this coin, Indians.
Yeah. Jalebi babies.
No. Adrian?
Hmm?
Native American Indians, which I am saying Indians because I guess it differs tribe to tribe, but it does seem like enough indigenous American peoples like the word or are okay with the word Indian that we've
it does
come
feel
back around
like
as a society to being okay with that. I don't know.
First peoples really came and went.
They use that a lot more in Canada. And I don't, are the tribes in Canada, like, do they differ with the tribes in the United States? And I know there's crossover, but like in what the preferred nomenclature?
Yeah.
I do feel like the theme, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells.
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm 60% Native American, baby. Ain't no eggshells for me to walk on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. So all the way down to Guatemala counts as Native American?
Where does America stop? It's the whole continent.
Fair enough. I don't know. I feel like people call, like, I don't know. I feel like people have different words for as you go. Like we just said, it's First Nations is Canada. Native American and Indian is the USA. It's not like it wasn't one continuous region.
Hey, I'm going to say a hot take right now, Paul, and I want you to understand this. I think that indigenous people are not a monolith.
That's what I'm saying. You're the one who's saying they are.
No, I never said that. You are misrepresenting what I said. Wait, when we talk about cops and robbers being the alternative to cowboys and Indians, does that map that cowboys were the good guys and Indians were the bad guys in the game? Because cops and robbers was tag, right? It was you were either a robber and had to run away or you were a cop and you had to chase people.
Cowboys and Indians was more like a role-playing game, like you were pretending. Like there was no rule set, like you were just, some kids were pretending to be Indians and some kids were pretending to be cowboys.
And you were just like making peace treaties and like learn how to farm?
I think it more like the violent aspects, the war making between the between those two groups.
Mm-hmm.
As a Native American, Adrian, how do you feel about
nope.
Indians?
Nope.
What?
No, I don't have much to say. I'm glad they're getting more representation.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing them around in the media. Sorry, I haven't watched Yellowstone. I'm watching The Curse. That's got some representation.
Mm. Do you know, like, pre-colonialism, what ethnic group your family belonged to?
No, we don't know. I think I've talked about this on pod before, is that Mayan was probably too north. If you look up Wikipedia, it says Xinka, but we have, like, no actual, like, evidence of one or the other. You ever had a fry bread taco?
No, I don't think I've ever had fry bread.
They serve it at the punk place in town. I've always been meaning to get one, but I never really get food there.
Seems like something that you could probably make at home following along with a YouTube video. Maybe it's something I should make for myself.
Ooh. That should be the third segment. Paul makes fry bread.
You'd be so mean to me when my fry bread doesn't come out good. And you know the first one is like a pancake. It's not going to come out good.
And the recipe only makes one.
No, but you're gonna get mean during the first one, and then I'm gonna get nervous and start making the other ones badly too.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what it is. You gotta take control of your life, Paul.
All right, you want to get into columns? Anything else to say?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I just always wanted to see a world where cowboys and Indians could work together and build a great nation together. What's all this versus about?
I don't think it would be a fun game. Once again, I don't think children want to play a coalition building.
That's how you gotta teach them young. Did you ever dress as a cowboy for Halloween? Did you ever dress as an Indian?
No, neither.
I'm pretty sure I did a school play as a kid dressed as an Indian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it might be on tape.
If anybody ever uncovers that picture, just say you were dressed as a turkey.
Oh, yeah, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
And then I want to say I can think of a picture of me dressed as a cowboy as a kid, but I don't think it was a big one for me. I was never really into cowboys as a thing.
Yeah, you're more a cowgirl fan.
Hey, come on now. When they do the thing where they like tie the bottom of their shirt and they show a little bit of belly. I mean, Paul, I know that we're spoiled for midriff now, but back when we were kids, that's all we got. That's all we got.
That's so true.
A little bit of ankle, a little bit of tied up shirt midriff. That's all we got.
All those hoedowns we were going to in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to get into my column?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, Adrian, I'm bringing in a new advice column that we haven't done before on westernhorseman.com. This is the ranch advice column.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Jolene Young from 2022. I'd like to start investing. So our money can and so the concept of this is people writing in who are cowboys or want to be cowboys asking for advice from somebody who started doing it a few years ago. For some context, when I started looking up cowboys and cowboy advice columns and cowwomen, there seems to be a modern movement somewhat adjacent to like the homesteading movement and some other like
cottagecore
return to simplicity movements. Where people are trying...
Anarcho-primitivism.
Yeah, are trying to sort of revive these lifestyles as potentially profitable, either through, like, monetizing, using social media, because I guess being a cowboy is not actually profitable in the modern world. So there's a tech and social media element to a lot of modern ranching and cowboying.
I mean, I don't know if this counts, but I did have a friend in grad school who, like, randomly missed some of our classes our first year of grad school. Because he'd grown up with horses, classic grad school, and he was just like, yeah, someone offered me like $5,000 to fly out to like somewhere in the South, pick up horses in a trailer and drive them to another ranch somewhere else. And I was like, that's about as close to being a cowboy as you can these days. I'll tell you what, apparently it's profitable enough for that.
So let's get into this question. I'd like to start
investing. Oh, really quick. I did want to ask a quick question.
Sometimes people, such as a friend or friend's cousin, my next door neighbor, the grocery store checkout lady, and my mother-in-law like to tell me you can't make a living as a cowboy. They say the pay is too low and it's no way to raise a family. What do you think? Signed, worrying about other people's opinions.
I'll give a spoiler in my column. I didn't think there was going to be this much crossover because I read the first one thinking that that was the question you were bringing in, which was also about finances. Which is an interesting through line, because for Native American advice columns, like, there are a few of them that are prominent, and they're all about, like, financial strategies for Native peoples to best get themselves on, like, a stable footing. So it's interesting that that's, like, a through line between these two communities.
Did you also find that, like, a lot of it is through monetizing their experiences on social media?
Oh, no. No, that was not the advice for Native Americans. Just for cowboys. That's cool. I like that. There's an audience for that.
You gotta be a TikTok cowboy. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. What would your name be if you were trying to monetize yourself as like a blank cowboy?
Ooh.
The Arab cowboy?
Who's Texas Pete?
Pew pew.
What's that burrito place in Denver called?
I would be at the diabetic cowboy, and I would prove how even if you have diabetes, you can still be an outlaw cowboy. Pew pew pew. Follow me for more tips.
You'd be like, you just gotta eat beef all day, every day, because, you know, it's mostly meat and potatoes. Can't do the potatoes. That's all carbs, so just
gotta stick to the beef. You know what I'm saying? Little tip for y'all. If you eat your apple, eat half of it, get the other half to your horse. That way you'll both are happy and your blood sugar's nice and stable.
I would be Poncho Paul.
Ooh, Pinche Paul.
No,
ooh.
Poncho.
What?
Poncho, because I'd be wearing a poncho all the time.
Ah, Pinche Paul. Okay, cool.
Poncho.
What?
Poncho.
Sorry,
Paul.
I keep breaking up. Okay. I think mic setting's wrong. Hold on. Pinche Paul?
Poncho Paul. I would be like the character from Emperor's New Groove. I'd be like Poncho.
Oh, Ponyo. Ponyo Paul. Because you're a snivelling
little fish. You motherfucker!
Okay, so we have advice for this cowboy, for this cowpoke.
For these cow peoples.
Mm-hmm. For this cow person.
Why are you worried about what other people think? The whole point of being a cow person is getting to live free out on the range.
If I were a meaner person, I would say something about, why are you letting the grocery store checkout lady tell you what's financially viable for life?
Also, why are you going to the grocery store? You should be
getting it out the
killing
mud.
Your own cattle, mm-hmm. making your own food. Are you even a cow person?
That's true. No, I think the thing about it's no way to raise a family is silly to me, because like I think it'd be super cool to
Isn't
have
that
a
idyllic?
Cowboy dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pioneer woman mom, cowboy dad. Are you kidding me?
And they live within the driving distance of a grocery store, so they're still going to regular school, but on the weekends they get to be cowboys?
That's the way you monetize it, is that you have to have your wife be the pioneer woman.
Ooh, and you have to have your kids be the pioneer kids.
That is true. You're going to, like, no way to raise a family. You need to have, like, 12 of them things to help out.
Oh, we're going real old school.
Mm-hmm.
When people try to modern cowboy, I guess I should have looked into this more, because no way I'm going to find out now. I wonder if they buy that land or if they're ranch hands for an established ranch with the animals and everything on it already.
You think they're all, what do you call it, freelancers?
Because these people are all doing it for the romantic ideal, I assume they're buying their own land because part of it is homesteading for them.
You don't think there's, like, a big class of, like, contract cowboys?
No, because once again, they're doing it for the romantic ideal, not because they actually want to do this work.
I feel like that's
money.
A big assumption.
Well, it's not, like, there's a lot of jobs that are more profitable. You really have to actually just want to do
what
it.
What if it's the
it.
Only skill you know?
My daddy was a cowboy.
My dad was
a cowboy. My daddy's daddy was a cowboy.
My dad was a cowboy TikToker. My granddad was a cowboy TikToker. See, I don't think there's anything else for me to do.
My granddad was one of those people who got famous because it was like an old person on TikTok. Now, that's charming. That's how Ooh-wee. He got most of his followers.
And she plays video games. Can she be my wife?
And she uses modern words like goonin. Now, that's just funny.
Come on now. What was I going to say? Do you think it's viable as just a single person? If you're talking about romanticism of like pre-family?
Yeah. Because it's way cheaper to live single than to raise a family, right? There's a lot of, like, added costs of raising a family. If you're just living in a trailer by yourself, you can get by on, like, very little amounts of money.
Do you think being a cowboy, though, is, like, when people say, well, people are wrong about philosophy degrees because, like, most of them go into law or, like, English or something like that. Like, there's a lot of skills you learn from being a philosophy major. Do you think, like, cowboys, like, they look for that on a resume? Like, oh, okay, oh. Cowboy, okay.
You'd be perfect. He knows leadership. For this. You're hired at the price fixing department in McKinsey. You
at
start
Goldman
tomorrow.
Sachs.
Yeah, probably. Why not?
Okay. Yeah.
The modern workforce mostly runs on bullshit.
I mean, isn't that the story of Ted Lasso? Is that before he was a soccer coach, he was a cowboy, or what was he? What was his thing?
A football coach.
Oh, that seems more transferable. Never mind.
Well, cowboying is how we've been raising our family for the last 10 years. So I think all those people can go kick rocks. Sure, you'll probably have to get a side hustle or two, and we'll likely never know what the inside of a brand new pickup smells like. But a bad day of cowboying beats a good day of bagging groceries every time.
Damn, I don't think that's true, but that's cool.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like there's probably some miserable days of cowboying. You tell me, like, when it starts raining and all your cows run away and your horse dies, that's a good day. That's better than the best day of bagging groceries.
Yeah. I've had some good days bagging groceries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when the new cute girl at Trader Joe's gives you a smile.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else about this?
You want to get to your column?
Yeah, I just sent it to you. So, like I said, a lot of the American-focused indigenous advice columns were kind of money focused, so I decided to go to our neighbors down under to get stuff about Indigenous people. So this is from The Guardian. This is an advice column called Misunderstanding. It's an advice column for everyone on everyday issues about race by Sisonke Samang. This is, my four-year-old daughter is asking questions about colonial history. How do I respond in an age-appropriate way? By the time they turn five, children of all races have already observed a frightening amount of racial bias. That's the little caption under the picture for the author. I think like a little blurb about what's to be seen later on. Dear Misunderstanding, I am a white Australian and my partner is Mexican. We live in Australia and have a four-year-old daughter. Lately, she has been asking questions that I don't know how to answer. Initially, childcare spoke with the kids about Captain Cook around Australia Day. Some of the things she came home repeating sounded very colonial, such as, Captain Cook first found Australia. I tried to explain that, actually, Indigenous people were here before that, and the British took the land from them. The conversation has moved on to her asking things like, Mum, was Captain Cook bad? And, did Captain Cook learn to be better later? I feel ill-equipped to speak with such a young person about our colonial history and the racism and discrimination that exists, but I don't want to avoid her questions. We live in a very multicultural neighborhood, and we often speak of people's heritage and all the different countries that our friends come from, but haven't introduced the idea of racism or discrimination. Are there any models or examples of how to do this in an age-appropriate way? I want my daughter to have a better understanding of our history and how racism affects the lives of others. I just don't know what to say.
Okay, let's start with the first most obvious point. Australia Day, not a real holiday. Don't know what that is. Sounds stupid. Not real.
Sounds dumb. Yeah. So first of all, let's get that out of schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get that out of your schools.
Also, Captain Cook, what, so a cereal mascot founded your country?
Yeah, what? The bad guy from Peter Pan? Who cares? I do like that they have a perfectly analogous figure for, like, our Columbus debates.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I don't know the lore behind Captain Cook in any way, but I think I got the gist of it. He was trying to find Antarctica, and he ended up in Australia, which is why it's named Australia.
Why, I wonder if he was as, because, like, Columbus is, like, pretty cut and dry. Like, he was just kind of a bad dude. Like, all the colonialism and bad things that happened outside of Columbus, he also was particularly racist and nasty. So it's, like, a pretty easy argument to be, like, we shouldn't valorize this guy. I wonder if Captain Cook
the Italian shouldn't valorize him?
Is Captain Cook a more complicated figure, or is he also, like, outright villainous when you actually look at the historical record?
Are you also asking if he got better later on?
No, what I mean is there, like, a more complex answer than he was evil or, like, you know, is there a more, like, complexity or is he closer to Columbus where if you're an adult, you do objectively realize he's bad and did bad, evil things?
So Paul is saying there is a world where Captain Cook's past drama could paint him as a charming enough figure that it excuses the colonialism.
Jesus Christ, Adrian, shut the fuck up. Go back to not.
Ooh, okay, all right.
Go back to not all doing right. A woke scold about everything.
Sorry, I'm asking the tough questions here. The question isn't about Captain Cook. I think that's a wrong analysis. I think the question is about how do you talk to your children about racism and discrimination?
Yeah, how do you teach them about racism?
Doesn't Bluey have an episode about that you can put on?
Ooh. I mean, the dad's Mexican. You can teach her by showing what it would be like.
For a second, I thought you meant Bluey was Mexican. I was just like, is that true?
No, Bluey's dad. No, the Bluey's question asker.
Yeah.
His husband is Mexican.
Like Drake in Atlanta. Yeah.
Start with racism against him. Obviously, tell him ahead of time, I'm going to start acting racist towards you for being Mexican to teach our daughter about racism so he doesn't get his feelings hurt. But from there, go at it.
So lead by example. Child appropriate literature on this. Have you gotten your kid to read Bell Hooks?
I don't know who that is.
Bell Hooks?
Yeah.
Oh, she's more of a feminist author than a, well, I mean, she's intersectional, but
have you got your child to read Anti-Racist Baby? Don't. Ibram X. Kendi is one of my enemies.
Ooh, damn, that's a bold statement.
Yeah, he took a really weak stance that both sides of the Israel-Palestine conflict don't care about him. He's trash.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, and while you're over there in Australia, hey, maybe fuck up Taika Waititi for us, too.
Oh, yeah. He signed the pro-Israel celeb letter. Wow, it really is crazy how a lot of these big famous virtue signally celebs end up kind of being trash people when there's an actual moral issue that they need to take a stand on. Interesting.
I want to say, is it true that there was a celebrity who signed both? I think there was at least one.
Wait, that rocks. I'm on that person's side. The don't be angry at me person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other ideas? How is your sister and brother handling this?
I think their kids are too young to tackle racism. How's your brother handling this?
I don't know. I haven't asked. I think what he does is he's like, here's a picture of Ariana Grande over the last in 4 year segments. Do you think any of these deserve to be less loved than the others? Do you think that any of these Ariana Grandes deserves less rights or less affectionate treatment than the others? Okay. Now you're not a racist.
Maybe this is an opportunity for our asses to get educated. What are you supposed to tell little kids about racism? Can you not just explain racism to them? As being like some people are discriminated against because of their race, and then they ask, what's discrimination? You go, when people are treated differently for unfair reasons. I don't, like, can you not just kind of work your way down that wormhole and answer their questions?
But that's uncomfy.
That's uncomfy.
For a white Australian.
And obviously there's like some parts of the history of genocide and slavery that are too dark to describe to a kid, but like, I feel like you can just kind of avoid those parts and explain the other parts, right? Do they know about death yet? I guess that probably colors the answer too. Do they understand the concept of death, or are they so young that they don't even know what that is?
Who knows if they even understand the concept of race? I think I have told that story before on pod where my sister, no, not my sister, my mom worked for a family that had a biological child and then adopted two Chinese children later on in life. And my mom used to make jokes all the time about how at like 4 and 5 years old, they were like, oh, we're white. We're just like mom and dad. We're white kids. And my mom wasn't touching it. She was like, I'm not going to tell them. But like literally up until like a pretty like old age, they're like, oh yeah, we're white like mommy and daddy.
Well, this question asker said that they have taught them about race. So the kid knows race.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they know about heritage.
Oh, okay.
We often speak about people's heritage and all the different countries that our friends come from, but haven't introduced the idea of racism or discrimination. Are there any models or examples on how to do this in an age-appropriate way? My daughter, I think you should let her listen to some Cornel West.
Do the Biden of kids really just need to listen to the radio to fall asleep, but just put on Malcolm X records?
Yeah.
So she learns the
White Devil.
So she learns the language of liberation.
This neoliberal.
Also, is it bad to just tell your kid Captain Cook is bad? Like, is it going to make them like pariahs to the other children where they're like, no, he was good. And then they're going to get in fights. Like, is this really going to come up? Just tell him he's bad. Who cares?
I mean, that was another column that I had that I was going to say for another day. But yeah, it was basically like me and my husband are very political. We're very outspoken. And now our child's getting in trouble at school for being outspoken about how assignments are racist or whatever. But no, the other thing I was going to say is I think one of the things that people often say when it comes to having conversations about racism with your kid is that, you know, they give the really sad examples of how young you can be and experience racism. If you're old enough to experience racism, you're old enough to learn about racism as a half Australian, half Mexican child.
Recreate that blue eye experiment that one psychotic teacher did to her students.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this? You've heard about this study?
Okay, Jay Leno. I've probably heard about it, but you're going to need to refresh my memory.
It was the one where, like, she was trying to describe why Nazi power... It's very similar to, like, the Stanford prison experiment. It was, like, explain why Nazis could come to power. So she split up all the students in her class into, like, blue-eyed students and not blue-eyed students. And they were, like, elementary schoolers. Like, I want to say, like, second grade. Basically just taught them to hate each other. And by, like, the end of, like, her two-week experiment, she turns them all into little Nazis.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's considered immoral now. You can't turn your students into Nazis to prove a point.
That doesn't sound like a experiment any, like, even in the Stanford prison sense. Like, I don't think she got any Aya Cook approval for that.
No, I don't think so. But I think it is one of those things that, like, affected, like, psychology for a while. People were like, this is incredibly important science and research.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Psychologists are like that, though. I mean, I don't think that teacher was a psychologist, but yeah, I think I've told you before that my psychology of the paranormal professor told us on multiple occasions about, like, experiments that he would do with his daughter, just trying to, like, see how he could, like, warp her perception on things.
Yeah, that's healthy.
And I was like, damn, yeah, that kid's gonna grow up messed up.
I like that psychologists can just do gaslighting as experiments.
Yeah. It turns out that when a little person relies on you for everything and trusts you inherently, you can fuck them up pretty easily.
For this experiment, I'm proving that little people are stupid.
Stupid baby.
Stupid baby. My daughter's a stupid actually, baby.
Going back into serious territory, I think that's probably where I would take it, is that I think most kids are probably smarter than you give them credit for, and so I think they can probably understand most of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Explain it in broad, sweeping generalizations and see where their questions lead you. If it gets too dark, I get... But, like, the questions you've presented so far don't seem too dark for me to just answer them for a child. I think you're pretty safe just letting them lead the conversation with questions and explaining as best you can.
Or just throw on a little bit of Dr. Umar Johnson.
Throw on a little Dr. Umar Johnson on the TV. So that way your kids comes out anti-miscegenation.
Anti-your marriage. Well, actually, this could just be a white Mexican guy.
True.
I imagine this is something where the mom has to handle the Captain Cook questions because the dad doesn't actually know anything about it.
Oh, yeah, because he's Mexican and she's Australian. He's like, Captain Cook, who's that? The guy from Tinkerbell? The mom's like, no, you didn't go to school here.
He's That's not what he sounds like. Do it again.
No, that's exactly what he sounds like. Hey, Holmes.
All right, you want to read the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm excited. This is a new one, so I'm excited to see how they answer it. Let's see. Dear Ill-Equipped, thank you for this question. There is so much to chew on. Let's start with Captain Cook. Did you know that Captain James Cook was stabbed to death in Hawaii? He was indeed. After Cook left New Zealand and Australia, he continued to travel the seas, riding currents, and quote-unquote discovering more people. Soon enough, he and his men ended up in Hawaii. They sailed into the area twice, establishing relations with the islanders, but it was Cook's third trip that proved to be his undoing. There are different accounts of what happened on 14 February 1779 at Kealakekua Bay, but generally the story goes that the Hawaiians were sick of Cook and his men who had at first seemed friendly but soon gave them venereal diseases, cut down trees surrounding their sacred burial sites, and accused them of stealing things from their ship. Things came to a head when Cook decided to kidnap one of their leaders. A fight ensued, and when it was all over, the captain lay dead, killed by Hawaiian soldiers in a battle that is still celebrated in Hawaii. So, in answer to your daughter's questions about whether Captain Cook learned to be better, history tells us that he did not. Interesting. Paul was not ready to let that conclusion lie. More than that, some might say that history tells us James Cook was a bad man, bad being a word that describes someone who goes back on his word, breaches trust, and disrespects others within the logics of what is acceptable in the time in which he was living, who got his just desserts. They misspelled desserts. They said deserts. Your daughter probably isn't ready for this story yet, but I remind you of these events, dear reader, because they speak to the fact that history holds the answers to many of the questions we ask today. When you write, we often speak of people's heritage and all the different countries that our friends come from, but haven't introduced the idea of racism or discrimination. I understand that you are doing this because you want to preserve your child's racial innocence and spare her the kind of gory details that are embedded in stories like this. Celebrating diversity is an age-appropriate way to ensure kids are comfortable with difference. But as she gets older, you want her to respect and know the difficulties her indigenous friends are experiencing. If you take the sweetness of multiculturalism while ignoring the bitter reality of racism, you end up replicating the flawed logic that has Australians celebrating Harmony Day on 21 March rather than commemorating the International Day for the Elimination of Racism. You are not alone in finding it easier to do diversity than talk about colonialism and racism. Many well-intentioned parents think that talking about race and history introduces kids to racism and puts the idea in their heads that wouldn't otherwise be there, so we keep quiet to protect them. But the truth is that by the time they turn 5, children of all races have already observed a frightening amount of racial bias. A 2020 study in the US found that 3-year-old children were already associating some racial groups with negative traits, and by the age of 4, they were associating white people with wealth and higher status. There are important differences between the US and Australia, but ultimately, the sooner you start talking to your daughter about history and race, the better. The world is already sending her all kinds of messages about what skin color and socioeconomic status mean. Your task is to step into the powerful and wonderful role you have as her parent by showing her that we can talk about hard histories without falling apart. That difficult issues can make us more thoughtful and big-hearted, and that wisdom comes from not just avoiding the past, but by confronting it. It's a big job, but you sound ready for it. If you do not meet the challenge and if instead your daughter begins to sense that you are avoiding her questions, she will quickly figure out that the subject is off limits. Kids are great at knowing where the social danger lies. Over time, your silence will teach her to be fearful and ashamed of her country's history, and that is the opposite of what you want. Instead, we want our children to be full of human feelings for those who have been wronged by history and determined not to repeat the mistakes of the past. I know this can seem daunting, but take heart. 4 is a beautiful age. 4-year-olds are obsessed with moral rights and wrongs and with fair and unfair, and they are bursting with questions. I would ask you follow her lead. Ask yourself the same questions she is asking you and take the quest to understand them for yourself. Put in the work to read, think, and reflect. If you see, was Captain Cook bad, as an invitation to pull her onto your lap and think together, rather than as a threat and a reason to retreat, I promise you there will be dividends. For one thing, as you help her to wrap her searching mind and her growing heart around the big questions of life and love and human belonging, I suspect alongside her, you too will learn to live the questions. Good luck, Mama. All right, what'd you think?
Yeah, like, I mean, she kind of just said the same thing, like, gonna ask questions, just answer them. They're curious. And then she also said the thing that you said about, like, they already understand racism at that age. Yeah, nothing to disagree with there. Did you have any sort of, like, deeper, I don't know, thoughts about it?
No, I thought it was good. I'm surprised there wasn't anything about getting the husband involved. I thought it was interesting that the mom asked about it, and she was just like, yep, this is all on you. Get ready for it. All right. What are we doing, Paul?
Oh, do you want me to explain the third segment? Adrian, growing up, were you familiar with this game, Oregon Trail?
I wasn't. I think I heard about it, like, after it became more of a meme, like, in high school.
I think even as a child, I was aware of it. Just never had any opportunities to play it.
No, our elementary school was more about letting us go on to DisneyChannelGames.com if we wanted to have a little bit of fun.
I don't remember ever going on a computer and, like, preschool, like, other than to make PowerPoints as I got more into elementary school. Like, that's what I remember, really, being allowed into computer labs.
We had a computer lab at LMES.
Yeah, but I remember only, like, the first time we went in there as a class was, like, making a PowerPoint was our assignment. We didn't, like, play games.
I think it was one of those things where we played games if you got done early.
Well, I was very stupid. I was perfecting my PowerPoint.
The teacher was one of my classmates' moms, and I remember her saying, if you get done early, you can go to DisneyChannels.com and play games, but you're not allowed to play any games that involve Dave the Barbarian, because I think that show's stupid, and I think it makes kids stupider.
And you were like, more stupid. And she was like, no! And you were like,
and I was like, yeah.
By correcting you, I've won the right to play the Dave the Barbarian game. I could do with getting a little bit stupider.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, yeah, but it's the foremost game for learning about the Western U.S. And since me and you never got an opportunity to play it as little wee ones, thought we would learn about it now.
Yeah, we're going straight into it.
Straight into it.
In case there's a random chance element, I'm going to be also clicking the same things you click on my screen on the other computer.
Oh, okay, exciting.
So yeah, we're both going into this with no familiarity with how this game works. I just know that you can die of dysentery.
Yeah, and I know that I've always heard that you can overhunt the buffalo until they all die.
The Oregon Trail is an older, very popular computer game that was developed by Bill Heineman, Don Rawich, and Paul Dillenberger in 1971. It was then put on the market in 1974 by MECC. The game is simple and was created to teach school children about the life of a 19th century pioneer on the Oregon Trail. You get to play the role of a wagon leader and guide your group of chosen settlers from Independence, Missouri to Willamette Valley in Oregon while traveling along the Oregon Trail in 1848. The game has since been released multiple times on multiple platforms by various game makers and publishers who acquired the rights. Okay. Enough said. Let's get to it. Paul, are you bringing up the game code?
I'm trying to, like, delete the stuff so I can make it bigger on my screen. Like, I want to delete, like, all the extra shit on this page so that, like, it'll take up my whole page.
Okay, so our six options. What is our choice? Screen one.
Okay, starting the game. The Oregon Trail. You may travel the trail, learn about the trail, see the Oregon top 10, turn sound off, choose management options. I think we want to travel the trail.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Many kinds of people made the trip to Oregon. You may 1. Be a banker from Boston, 2. Be a carpenter from Ohio, 3. Be a farmer from Illinois, or 4. Find out the differences between these choices. What is your choice?
Let's find out number 4.
You don't want to be bank bros?
Oh, sorry. I already clicked number 4. Traveling to Oregon isn't easy, but if you're a banker, you'll have more money for supplies and services than a carpenter or a farmer. However, the harder you have to try, the more points you deserve. Therefore, the farmer earns the greatest number of points, and the banker earns the least.
It sounds like having capital is still the best thing.
We should go with number 1. We should be a banker from Boston. But we are slightly further away. We gotta go all the way to... Also, I like how one of them is a carpenter from Ohio, one's a farmer from Illinois. Like, why is it states and cities?
Because they're, you know, who's farming in Boston?
Fair enough. Yeah, but I guess we are further on the East Coast. In this case, than the other two options. Illinois, we're halfway there.
Can't we be a professional wagon guy from Eugene? That way we're basically done.
What is the first
name? Did we do banker?
Yeah, that's what I did.
All right, banker, Beantown in this bitch. What is the name of your wagon leader? I'm going to name mine Adrian.
I'm going to name mine Adrian. Is lame. Oh, damn it. That doesn't fit.
What are the first names of your other members in your party? I'm going to do Paul, and then Phil, and then Drake, and then Justin. My boys, where are my boys at? Wait, what did you did Izzy and Becca.
I did Paul, Adrian, and Phil, Marshall. Izzy, and Marshall.
With one L?
How do you spell his name?
It does explicitly show them as two young girls, a wife, and a kid. I'm glad that I named mine all dudes. Where are my dudes at?
It is 1848, and Adrian will read this section.
It is 1848. Your jumping-off place for Oregon is Independence, Missouri. You must decide on which month to leave Independence. Oh, okay, so we want to have the coldest days be earlier in the trip?
I think so, right? Because we're going to have the most resources at that point.
So, actually, if the choices are March, April, May, June, and July, maybe we should just start in March as early as possible in spring.
Should we not ask for advice? That's our sixth option.
This is a game for kids.
Okay, wait. Let's lock in our option and then ask for advice to see how much we fucked up our logic.
Okay.
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking March.
Why? You think we're going to get there before the end of the year?
You think July and then we're spending like the middle of the trip in winter?
Yeah, I think so, right? I think it's going to take more than a year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do July then.
Okay, I'm going to ask for more options, and then we'll click July.
It says, whatever you do, don't do July.
You attend a public meeting held for folks with the California-Oregon fever. You're told, if you leave too early, there won't be any grass for your oxen to eat. If you leave too late, you may not get to Oregon before winter comes. If you leave at just the right time, there will be green grass, and weather will still be cool. Shit.
We were supposed to be centrists. We both literally were, like, on the extremes, and turns out we're supposed to be centrists.
At least we'll have a lot of grass to start our trip. Make sure our oxen feed
grass
up.
Grass or ass, that's the way that we do our pioneering. Nobody rides for free.
Before you leave Independence, you should buy equipment and supplies. You have $1,600 in cash, but you don't have to spend it all now. Should we just spend it all now?
You can buy whatever you need at Matt's General Store. And then a dude smoking a pipe. Says, hello, I'm Matt. So you're going to Oregon. I can fix you up with what you need. A team of oxen to pull your wagon, clothing for both summer and winter. Press the space bar to continue. Plenty of food for the trip. Ammunition for your rifles. Spare parts for your wagon. Alright, what are we doing?
I think we're gonna need 2 oxen, right?
2 oxen?
Amount you have 1600. Which item would you like to buy? Where's the prices?
I think
maybe once we press oxen, it'll tell us the price.
So 1, enter?
Yeah. There are 2 oxen in the yoke. I recommend at least 3. There are 2 oxen in a yoke. I recommend at least 3 yoke. So 6 oxen? Okay, how many yoke? Should we do his recommendation? Or is he trying to upsell
us? Should we do 3?
Is he trying to upsell
us? Oh, if anything, I think three is good. If anything, I was going to say we should go for four, but I think three is probably okay.
But three yoke, so that's six oxen, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
He recommends at least three yokes.
I know, but he's trying to get our money.
That's true. Once we leave, Matt will never see us again.
But I guess we'll have plenty to eat at the beginning of our trip because we're leaving in the middle of summer. It'll just be later that we have to kill him and eat him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two. Let's see how much food costs.
In Biden's America? I recommend you take at least 200 pounds of food for each person in your family. I see that you have five people in all, and Justin and Drake look like some hungry boys. You'll need flour, sugar, bacon, and coffee. My price is 20 cents a pound. How many pounds of food do you want? We need 1,000 pounds of food?
Holy shit. Which kid can we lose? Which are we... I think we can let Drake starve, right?
I mean, why is coffee one of the necessities for all of us?
The kids love it, Adrian.
It's gonna make them short. I say 1,500 pounds.
Okay, I could get behind that. And that would be 100 pounds short of the recommended amount?
No, that'd be 500 pounds over.
Oh, shit, yeah, I did bad math there. Let's get 800 pounds. I think we're gonna be doing a lot of hunting.
Naturally, okay. All right, 800 pounds. Clothing. What, do we not already have clothing? Oh, you'll need warm clothing in the mountains. I recommend taking at least two sets of clothes per person. Each set is $10. How many sets of clothes do you want?
I think we should get extra because we're going to be in the winter pretty long.
And we got to have that drip.
Yeah. So instead of the 10 sets, let's get 20.
15 sets? 20. Oh, okay. Let's do it. Holy shit, that's $200? How did we spend more on clothing than food?
Ammunition, okay.
We're overly dripped out.
We're going to need a lot of ammunition if this goes how I think it's going to go.
Because we're doing a Twista freestyle?
What a reference that nobody ever will get.
You got it. That's all I need.
Fair enough. Do you want to read this?
Oh, I sell ammunition in boxes of 20 bullets. Each box costs $2. How many boxes do you want?
50
boxes? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was cheap. We could probably get in harder on that. And then spare parts? It's a good idea to have a few spare parts for your wagon. Here are the prices. Wagon wheel, 10 each. Wagon axle, 10 each. Wagon tongue, 10 each. Could have just said everything's $10. How many wagon wheels? I mean, how many flats are we going to get?
Zero, I assume.
No. You're not fucking us over like that, Paul. I'm trying to live. I want to say three.
No. Let's get... They're not that expensive, but we're going to need three of each. So let's go five. Five for each one.
Five for each one. Okay.
Yeah. So that'll be 150 total. 50, 50, 50.
Your wagon can only carry three wagon wheels. Ooh, look who had a... Look who had the intuition correct. How many axles? Three?
Yeah.
How many wagon tongues?
Is a tongue per wheel? What's a wagon tongue? I don't know.
Front part? That part? I just did three of each.
Oh, but maybe one of them breaks more often than the other. Should we get more axles or tongues? Oh, well, I'll just get three.
Yeah, I already said three.
We still have not spent a ton of our money.
That bodes well, right? We're probably going to stop on the way there.
Okay. Press spacebar to leave store.
Yeah, let's get them out of here. Well then, you're ready to start. Good luck. You have a long and difficult journey ahead of you.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, whoa, this music is aggressive.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I muted the site, so I can't hear it.
Okay. Press spacebar to continue. Independence, July 1st, 1848. Paul, what we got?
Weather, warm, health, good. Pace, steady. Rations, filling. You may continue on trail. Check supplies. Look at map. Change pace. Change food rations. Stop to rest. Attempt to trade. Talk to people. Buy supplies. What is your choice?
Shopping always wears me out. Should we stop to rest?
Should we look at our map?
Okay, you want to do a Dora the Explorer?
Yeah. I'm so curious. How far do we have to go? Oh, man, that looks so far.
Hmm. Forts, landmarks, your route, rivers, and mountains. Ain't no mountain high enough.
All right.
Ain't no river.
So you wanted to stop to rest?
Enough. No, let's continue on the trip.
Okay.
Let's keep it moving.
Number one.
From Independence, it is 102 miles to the Kansas River crossing. Date, July 1st, 1848. Weather, warm. Health, good. Food, 800 pounds. Next landmark, 102 miles. Miles traveled, zero. Press space bar to continue.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now we're actually... Oh, we got bad water coming up?
Oh, I got a broken wagon tongue, so it is random generated.
We're still doing okay. Oh, you are now at the Kansas River crossing. Would you like to look around?
Oh, can you not see my screen? We're getting different things. My wagon tongue broke.
Yeah, you gotta replace it.
Oh, you already did that?
No, I mean, I didn't have that issue. I got here fine.
You were unable to repair the broken wagon tongue. You must replace it with a spare part.
Oh, that's what I thought they meant, yeah. It's very hot already.
You're now at the Kansas River crossing. Would you like to look around? Yes.
Okay, I got there a day earlier, and I got there with more pounds of food than you did.
You motherfucker!
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow.
Make this my background.
Pixel art rocks.
All right, space bar to continue.
Yep.
All right, I think we're both still generally on the same conditions, but again, we can continue on the trail, check supplies, look at map, change pace, change food rations, stop to rest, attempt to trade, talk to people. I mean, this is kind of a me thing, but I'm really big into community building. I wouldn't mind like talking to my neighbors.
Let's do it.
Oh, we got different things. Okay, you're going to have to read what you got.
A stranger tells you. Wait, no, that part is normal. A stranger tells you, can't afford to take a ferry. We're making our wagon into a boat. We'll turn it over, chuck the bottom and sides with a pitch and use it to float our...
Cock the bottom.
We'll turn it over, cock the bottom and sides with a pitch and use it to float our goods across. Have to swim the animals. Hope it doesn't rain. The river's high enough. Person sounds boring. I wish they would do something other than small talk. I like to talk about deeper things.
A ferry operator tells you, don't try to ford any river deeper than the wagon bed, about 2.5 feet. You'll swamp your wagon and lose your supplies. You can caulk the wagon bed and float it, or be smart and hire me to take your wagon on my ferry. That seems like he's trying to upcharge me. Wait, Paul, what are you doing?
I'm changing my food rations.
Well, announce it. Don't just do it.
My people have been living too high for too long. They're moving from... Nah, I guess I'll keep filling them up for now. Just want to check.
Okay. Should we continue on the trail?
But if Marshall and Izzy keep pissing me off, they might be moving to meager rations soon.
I'll tell you what. Yakety yap yap. All right. Let's do one. Let's continue on the trail.
You must cross the river in order to continue. The river, at this point, is currently 603 feet across and 1.5 feet deep in the middle.
Ooh, mine is 1.7 feet deep in the middle. So I got a different...
Oh, because it's a different day, so the river's at a different height.
He told me not to cross the river at more than 1.5 feet, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to cock the wagon and float it across. The other options are attempt to ford the river, take a ferry across, wait to see if conditions improve, and get more information.
I'm going to... I don't want to diverge us too much. So
no, let's diverge. I think we're already going different paths. Let's...
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to wait and see if conditions improve. That's the kind of guy I am. I camp near the river for the day. Oh, this has a cool little animation.
Yeah.
Go, Paul. Go, Paul. Go. Oh, fuck. A great white shark just came out of the fucking river.
You had no trouble floating the wagon across.
Woohoo! Okay, well, I waited, and it got very rainy, and the river depth is now 3.3 feet. I'm going to take a ferry. I'm just going to pay for that. The ferry operator that says that he will charge you $5 and that you will have to wait 5 days. Are you willing to do that? Fuck, yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Ooh, I found wild fruit.
Ooh.
Things are looking up Paul.
Everything's coming up Paul. Hold on. I'm at my next stop screen. I can tell you where I'm at once you get to your next stop screen.
You're now at the Big Blue River crossing. Would you like to look around?
Yes. Oh, I'm 82 miles from the Big Blue River crossing. I'm at July 13th. It's hot. I've got a little bit of food. We keep going. One of the oxen is injured. Fuck.
I'm going to start talking to people at the Big Blue River crossing.
Okay.
Big Louie, a trail driver, tells you, be careful. You don't push those animals too hard. Keep them moving, but set them a fair pace. Can't keep driving them so fast or you'll end up with a lame-footed animal. A lame ox is about as good to you as a dead one. Ooh. Okay, I'm going to rest since I don't want what happened to you to happen to me.
We lost the trail and lost 4 days.
How many days would you like to rest? I'm going to rest for 4 days. Okay. I'm going to continue on trail.
Wait, give me a goddamn second.
I'm sorry, your crew's bitch ass.
I'm at the Big Blue River Crossing. It's July 22nd, 1848. Weather's warm, health is good, pace is steady, rations filling. I'm going to continue on the trail. We're going to push a little bit harder for right
now. Okay, right now it's 226 feet and 1.8 feet river depth, so I'm going to, oh gosh.
I'm at 1.6. I feel like I'm at the, I can caulk the wagon and float it across.
There's no ferry here, so I think I'm going to caulk again. I want to grab the ferry at 1.8, but...
No trouble getting across.
Same.
Nice.
Oh, I lost 3 days from losing the trail. Happens, am I right?
How much food did we start out with?
I don't remember how many pounds, because we are about halfway. Ooh, Izzy has dysentery.
No, Izzy, she got the squirt. I'm at Fort Kennedy.
Okay, let me, I'm gonna press enter. Okay, yeah, I'm also at Fort Kearney.
Fort Kearney, yeah.
Yes, we would like to look
around. I'm looking around. Oh, we caught up to the same day somehow.
I'm gonna attempt a trade here. Get some more pounds of food. You meet another immigrant who wants one wagon axle. He will trade you 25 pounds of food. Are you willing to trade? Yeah, I'm willing to do that. Gonna attempt to trade again. Let's see. No, I'm not willing to trade that.
I'm just gonna buy supplies.
Oh, where's the buy supplies option?
Nine. I'm just gonna buy food.
I'll also buy 500 pounds of food.
Well, yeah, it's gonna go straight through Izzy. Then you're kind of losing that money. I'm gonna rest for a little bit at this point. We're gonna take a little rest. We'll do stop to rest at 6. Okay, August 1st. We're going to continue on the trail. Drake got a snake bite.
Dumbass. I'm also continuing on the trail after 4 days of rest. It is now August 4th.
Bad water, very little water, inadequate grass. Fuck, we're getting effed in the A over here. One of the oxen has died. Fucking A. Inadequate grass.
Wrong trail, lost 5 days.
We're getting cooked over here, bro.
Man, these people are eating food like it's nobody's fucking business.
Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Justin has measles. Justin! Very little water.
Phil has a broken leg. God damn it.
Phil got a snake bite on mine. Oh, we're getting cooked over here. You are at Chimney Rock. Would you like to look around? Yeah, I guess. Okay, can we do a screen check? What are you at right now?
Weather warm, health good, pace steady, rations filling.
Oh, she recovered from dysentery?
I guess so. It never told you, but also Phil's leg is broken.
I'm at August 16, weather warm, health fair, pace steady, rations filling. I think I might need to change my rations.
Aunt Rebecca Sims tells you, I hear terrible stories about wagon parties running out of food before Oregon. The whole party's starving to death. We must check our supplies often. We might not get there as soon as we think. Always plan for the worst, I say. Yeah, food is going like a motherfucker.
I think I need to change my rations. I'm changing my food rations to adequate, and then I'm going to attempt to trade. Because I talked to someone who said that there's a big Native American population that likes to trade fish.
I'm going to continue on the trail.
Fuck me and my big ol' ass. No one wants to trade with you today. Okay, well, fuck it. I'm just going to continue then.
Ooh, I'm going to... I pressed enter to assess situation. I'm going to hunt for food.
Oh, is that what you have to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Paul, guess what?
What?
I found an abandoned wagon with the following. One set of clothes, 42 bullets. I think it's a hunting time.
Enter key to start or stop walking, to point the rifle.
How does this mechanic work?
Okay. Spacebar to fire. Interesting. I'm not killing anything, shit. Dude, I'm so bad at this.
Oh, wait, what'd you get? Ooh, nice.
I've gotten a deer and a rabbit. Dude, this is pretty fun. I see why kids like this.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Get him.
Get him.
You can't shoot over the foliage, I think.
Oh, thank you. And you can't walk over it. I was so confused why my guy was stuck. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of food from doing this.
Nice. Wait, what'd you get? From my animals, I got 129 pounds of meat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good amount of pounds. I feel like bullets are definitely cheaper than buying food. Okay, let's continue on the trail.
All right, continue on the trail for me, too.
You pass a grave site. Would you like to look closer? Yes, let's ransack this grave site. Here lies Voland. Hey, hey, come out and play. Okay, creepy.
Okay.
Continue.
Drake has a fever, of course.
I'm now at Fort Laramie. Yeah, Drake, what is up with Drake's health?
Would you like to look around?
Fort Laramie. Yes. It's August 30th okay. For me. What date are you at?
I'm at August
27th. Ooh. Check supplies. Let's see. Where are we? I still have plenty of clothes, plenty of oxen, plenty of bullets. I might as well just buy food unless I want to keep hunting all the time. Ooh, food prices have gone up. It's now 0.3 per pound.
How much do you have left? 5:30? Are you buying more food too?
Yeah, I bought plenty.
I think that's the thing to get. Yeah, let's do food and I'll do like 100 pounds of food or something.
These what greenhorns like? Heading across the Rockies know nothing about surviving in the mountains. It gets awful cold up there, even in the summer. Many a traveler crossing the mountains too late in the year have gotten snowbound and died. Oh shit, that's awesome. We started in July.
God damn it.
Continue on trail. Has he got lost?
That's why you don't let a woman drive. Come on now.
I think we lost her. And we have to spend 5 days looking for her.
Hmm. Paul got measles.
No!
Bad water. I can't do anything about the water. Broken wagon. Oh, so I forgot to mention this, but I was able to trade 3 wagon tugs for a oxen. And so I ended up buying a couple more just in case, and my wagon tongue just broke. So that was a smart move by me. And I was able to repair my wagon tongue. Nice.
You're now at Independence Rock. Would you like to look around? It's getting cold for me, so winter's coming.
Paul has died.
No, for what?
I just changed my food rations back to filling, and you died immediately. You were like, this is too much for me. Our health is very poor. I thought changing the food rations would help. Find wild fruit. Okay, you are now at Independence Rock. I would like to look around. Okay, I'm
gonna check. I also found wild fruit. Why do I keep getting... I keep getting bad water.
Wait, we're only like a fourth of the way there. We're getting effed in the A over here.
I'm gonna hunt again. That's the best part of this fucking game.
That is the best part of the game. Does it make sense to trade one ox for 75 pounds of food? No, right?
No. Ox are definitely better than food, right?
I mean, I'm just thinking about it price-wise, but yeah, let's continue on the trail. I'm going to hunt, because that is the best part of this.
Man, I'm getting effed in the A as far as like broken wagon parts. I got to spend my money on that.
Dude, I killed 2 bison while hunting. I'm fucking the best.
Adrian has a broken leg! Marshall has exhaustion.
Wait, isn't he always?
I'm at South Pass.
Ooh. Holy shit. Wait, what? God damn it.
What's that mean?
Dude, I killed 2 bison and got almost 2,000 pounds of meat. However, you can only carry 100 pounds back to the wagon.
Where'd you find bison? I didn't get any bison.
Oh, I've gotten bison both times that I've hunted.
I haven't even seen them running.
They're so easy to kill, too.
I'm going to stop to rest. Ooh, I now have a fork in the road. Should I head to Green River Crossing or head to Fort Bridger? I'm going to check my map.
Fort Phoebe Bridger?
Fort Phoebe Bridgers. Ooh, that seems more south, which seems better for me as somebody who's, where's Green Hill Crossing? I don't even see it.
You know, I haven't experimented at all with changing pace. I'm going to try a strenuous pace for a little bit. I think we're okay to do it. Severe thunderstorm, lose 1 day. Drake has a broken leg. Drake got a broken leg. Did you already get to South Pass? What's up at Southie? Okay, so it seems to be that resting and going at a slower pace is the only way to heal people in your party who are sick.
Man, just like real life.
Time heals all wounds.
Ooh, nice. I found an abandoned wagon with clothing and wagon axles. Adrian is lost. I lost 2 days.
R.I.P. Paul, we think about him every goddamn day. The trail divides here. You may head for the Green River Crossing or head for the Fort Bridger. Is that where you went to head, Fort Bridger?
Yeah.
I should go to River Crossing then?
Adrian has died.
What? How is it that it's both of us who died on this one?
I'm now at Fort Bridger.
Wait, Fort Bridger's not on the way, though. Fort Bridger is completely... Where's the green place? I'm going for Green River Crossing. Ooh, I'm talking to Big Louie. Big Louie thinks the fairy people are scammers. I like that.
He's just like me for real.
I took a ferry across the river for the Green River Crossing, and we all drowned.
You all drowned?
No, I'm just kidding. We're okay.
Like, what the fuck? The game just ended? Okay.
We're running a little low on food.
I rested for 8 days, which put me into November, but now we're all well rested, so I'm going to continue on the trail from Fort Bridger, but I am in November 3rd. What date is it for you?
I'm on October 7th, I think.
Oh, goddamn. I'm really killing time compared to you. Severe blizzard, lose 1 day.
God damn it. Hunting's hard.
Sometimes. It is weird how it's like it's very random if like they give you a bunch of easy-to-get animals or not.
Oh, give me that bear. Give me that bear.
I know. I want to get a bear, but I keep, like, missing them.
I mean, I know I don't have enough to, like, actually... And it's going to be too much weight anyways, but...
I only got 64 pounds of meat from that.
I got 63 pounds of meat. Okay,
I got to Soda Springs. Talk about Cola City, am I right? Talk about Soda City.
Hey, hold on. You're on a good screen. Do you want to do a checkup?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got?
Do you want me to check supplies? I'm weather cold, health good, pace steady, rations filling. It's November 19th. And let me check the map. I think I'm like a slightly further than halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say slightly okay. Further than halfway.
I'm at Soda Springs. It's Halloween. Weather's cold. Health fair. I might rest for a little bit. Pace steady. Rations filling. Okay, it seems like the person I'm talking to specifically says this is a good place to rest for a while. So I'm going to rest for like maybe 5 days, which I think depletes my food rations. So I might need to do something about that. Oh, I have, like, no pounds of food.
Yes, I would like to look around Fort Hall. Ooh, nice, I can buy supplies here. What do I need? Food gets more expensive on the way. That's how they get you.
Paul, I guess you just got a bear.
How many pounds of food is that?
Hold on, I'm not done hunting yet. These motherfuckers aren't ready for this. I got 229 pounds of meat from 2 deer and a bear. So apparently the bison are really where it's at.
I know, but the problem is your like bitch-ass guy can barely carry anything. The problem is the bears run away as soon as they come out.
One of the oxen is injured.
Dumbass.
Bad water. You are now at Fort Hall. Did you get to Fort Hall?
Yeah, I already did Fort Hall.
Okay. Oh, we can buy supplies there. Did you buy supplies?
I did not. I don't actually have like anything I need right now.
Oh, I need more food. Just to have pounds of food. Oh, this is what you said about food's more expensive as you go on?
Yeah, it was like 50 cents. Like, I think it started at like 20, right? Or even forget what it was when we first left. Oh, I'm into December shit. Things are gonna get cold.
Drake has another snake bite. Why is he the one doing that? Justin has a broken leg.
How does it know our personalities?
I know, right? We lost 5 days for a wrong trail. Oh, God, and we're just eating shit up. Impassable trail, lose 9 days. Shit, and we're just going through food.
Izzy has a broken arm. That's pretty classic, Izzy. I'm now at you did Snake River Crossing already, right? Holy shit, 1,000 feet across and 6.2 feet deep?
Nothing you can't handle.
Gonna hire the Indian to help.
Fuck, I got my first dysentery. It's Phil. One of my oxen has died.
Holy shit, you were getting fucked, my dude.
There's nothing but death and despair.
Man, almost like the real Oregon Trail.
Oh, shit. I feel like I'm learning something. Justin has measles. Fuck off, Justin. Justin is lost. Lose 2 days.
Justin.
Swear to God. Oh, no, I just got to Snake River Crossing.
I recommend asking the Indian for help. He was very kind to me. Marshall has a broken leg. I'm now at Fort Boise. I'm gonna stop to rest. I'm tired of all these broken arms and legs and whatnot.
On your recommendation, I'm gonna hire a Shoshone guide.
They treated me so well.
He wants clothing, which we got from that abandoned wagon, so like I'm totally fine to do that.
Okay, I'm now into January 12th. And
Great White Shark.
Wait, what?
Oh, damn. Great White Shark.
I don't think those are in rivers, buddy.
The Snake River.
I've killed 3 bears in this one hunting trip.
Nice. Let's change pace.
I still haven't seen a buffalo, which is annoying me.
Oh, they're so good. Tasty, I'll tell you what.
Stop bragging, man.
Actually, with hunting, it is so easy to get food. I don't know why I keep buying it, but...
Because it kind of takes time.
Ooh, 56 bullets for a wagon axle. None of these are good.
The bullets are also, it's not like you actually need that many bullets to do this hunting game if you're not like a little kid spamming it.
And you fucking wanted us to buy 1,000 bullets off rip.
How many bullets do I have left? 877. I might have bought too many bullets if I'm being a hundo with you, buddy.
Wait, did you buy more bullets?
I must have found them or something.
Oh, okay, because I have 310. I was like, how have I been spamming that?
You're just not really as good a shot as me.
Hey, I've taken down 2 buffalo. How many have you taken down?
Shut up, man. There's like funny jokes and there's mean jokes. Marshall has died.
Oh no, Marshy baby boy.
One of the oxen is injured.
Oh no, when it rains it pours. I rested for an entire week and our health went from poor to fair. So, you know what? I give up. We're just going to keep going. Severe blizzard, lose 1 day.
I lost 7 days to an impassable trail. I'm now on February 2nd.
How does that not count as rest, though? Like, are you not just hanging and chilling?
Yeah, but, you know, it's not good rest. You're stressed the whole time.
Drake got measles from Justin. We lost a day due to fog. Like, maybe we could have kept moving a little bit. Bunch of bitch asses I'm traveling with.
Why does it keep telling me about the water? I can't do anything about the water. If I could buy my people water, I'd buy the water.
Yeah. Well, it said that one of the conversations I had was like, the river is really big. You should fill up on water. And it's like, how? I don't know what to do about that.
Okay.
Did I tell you that I found another abandoned wagon?
I got to the Blue Mountains. Me too. I keep finding those.
Oh, you don't ever tell me.
You never share with me anymore.
You never, I want to share in your triumphs and your losses. Oh, I'm now at the Blue Mountains. Would you like to look around? Did we somehow catch up again?
Oh, it's crazy how we, this game really gets you to.
Your health is much better than mine. I think I'm a little bit behind you, so I'm going to rest for a few days. But you're also resting.
Yeah. Ooh, do I go to Fort Walla Walla or head to Dallas?
Ooh, you're going to Walla Walla, Washington?
Let's see the map. I guess not Dallas. Dallas? Dallies? Where is that?
Well, Washington Heights. We're basically there.
Yeah, we're so close. I'm going to go...
Honestly, I'm going to pick up the pace. Let's go for it.
The more direct route to Dallas. I'm going to hunt. I don't want to get too cocky and get screwed over. It does suck once you've killed a bear that it's like the game doesn't stop because it's like I don't... Like, I'm not going to be able to carry.
I don't need a rabbit, yeah.
The rest of this meat anyway. Could the hunting simulator just end?
How many oxen do you have left?
All of them. I don't think I've lost an oxen.
Damn, I've lost 2.
What are you doing to your oxen?
I mean, I'm working them hard. I was on strenuous pace for a lot of this. And I'm going back to it, too. We're fucking going. Zoom, zoom, zoom. I'm going to go to Walla Walla just because it seems more whimsical.
Waka waka, eh, eh. This time for Walla Walla.
Walla walla wa, ay, ay, walla walla wa, oh, oh, ox wanders off, lose 2 days, okay, fuck me in my
dude, what are you doing to your ox then? Ooh, I'm at Dally's. Let's attempt to trade.
That's only 62 pounds of food.
The winter has not screwed me over nearly as much as I thought. I'm back in March. Winter's basically over. Gonna show up.
Okay, that rabbit had a death wish. It was just coming at me. All right, let's continue on the pace. You're now at Fort Walla Walla. Do you want to look around? Yeah, sure, why not? Ooh, a lot of Native Americans. Let's talk to people and let's maybe buy some supplies. A young mother tells you, I've traveled in fear of Indians since our journey began. Ooh, I don't like that. As of yet, we've seen few. The few we've helped us across the river or sold as vegetables. Still, I fear I've read grave markers and heard strong stories of killings in these mountains. Now, they seem like cool folks.
I'm going to travel the Barlow Trail instead of floating down the river. It's going to cost me $8, but I'm willing to do that.
I'm trading 3 sets of clothing for an oxen, since we haven't used any of the clothing so far, really.
I know. What is up with this clothing thing? What is that even good for?
I don't know. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Phil has cholera.
Makes sense.
Dirty boy. Severe blizzard. You are now at the Dallas. Would you like to look around? Oh, so either way you have to go through Dallas? Okay, cold, strenuous, filling. Let's change our pace. Let's ease it up a little bit. And maybe rest for a little bit. And then let's see what we're looking at here. Oh, amount of food, plenty. We are fine. Bullets, fine. Everything's fine.
We're fine. It's all going good, even though we've killed so many fucking people. I think only Adrian. Wait, did Marshall die or just get a broken leg? I can't remember. Adrian definitely
Marshall
died.
Marshall died, dude.
How do you check? I don't see, like, a screen to check your family status.
That don't matter. You have to keep looking forward. Have you gone to the trail divide yet? What are you doing?
I'm hunting, but...
Have you done the...
I'm taking the ground path. I paid to not go down the river. Izzy has dysentery.
Take the Barlow toll road?
Shit. Izzy has a broken arm.
I'm gonna float down the Columbia River. Oh, shit. If you float down
Izzy
the river,
has a snake bite.
It's an actual game.
What?
If you float down the river, it's an actual game where you have to use the arrow keys.
Oh. Damn it. Izzy got dysentery, broke her arm, and then got a snake bite all within 50 miles.
Yo, I'm surprised Izzy's still alive.
Broken wagon wheel, would you like to repair it? Of course I would. I got
She's like that rabbit. She's got a death wish. Oh, I didn't know that. Fuck off. Wait, what? All right. It's a good thing you didn't float down the river. I just got effed in the A.
What happened to you? Who died?
I thought that it automatically keeps you within the border of the river, so I just let myself float to the edge, and apparently I hit the shore, lost an ox, 8 sets of clothing, and 361 pounds of food.
Holy shit. I made it to the Willamette Valley. Congratulations, you made it to Oregon. Let's see how many points you have received. I have 3 people in fair health, 1 wagon, 6 oxen, 7 spare wagon parts, 24 sets of clothes, 837 bullets.
You didn't lose any of your clothes?
296 pounds of food. I made it to Oregon with 3 people alive.
Shut the fuck up, I'm still working on it.
And $450, which when you think about it is better than having a lot of people alive.
Did you have your date? Because I think I'm gonna get there before you.
Ooh, no. Sorry.
Interesting. Interesting that you didn't. Interesting.
Where are you?
December.
Really? Still? Goddamn.
No, I'm in March.
Winter really did not screw me over nearly as much as it implied at the beginning that it would.
I didn't realize that there was supposed to be a landing that you were supposed to hit. The raft missed the landing. You've lost 2 wagon wheels, a wagon axle, and a wagon tongue. Okay, this is the worst decision I've made so far.
I don't know. It sounds like you had more fun.
I made it, though. I have 3 people in fair health. What was your score?
It's like 16 something.
Couldn't even take. Let's see. 1 wagon, 6 oxen, 2 spare wagon parts, 2 sets of clothing, 297 bullets, 190 pounds of food. 120 total is 1700.
Shut up.
Interesting. Nice. Okay. Cool. Didn't qualify for the top 10 though.
I didn't either.
Pretty fun. What do you have to say about this extra long third segment?
I feel like I finally know what it feels like to be a cowboy. Except none of this was actually being a cowboy. I guess we just something to do with the Old West.
I think for me, I don't understand how kids don't. I feel like it has to be the irrationality of a child to be like, well, I'm just gonna spend all my money right now on food. That's all I need.
Yeah, how is this game hard if you have any like ability to do things?
If your frontal lobe is developed.
I mean, it must be the kids just being like, oh, let me pick a bunch of bullets. That's funny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people did die. Maybe if we optimized our playthrough, maybe we're just too cynical and that we're like, ah, people died.
Really,
it's no
know.
Big deal.
Like, do you think it's one of those things where you get a completely different ending if you have all your characters alive at the end?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right, it's like Undertale.
Yeah, then it becomes just like, actually the game has like a whole second part where it's just you're playing The Sims at the end.
Anyways, that was me thinking more about the fact that this game is not hard to at least complete, but I guess it depends on how much you want to actually win at it. But Paul, what did you learn today?
I learned that, big fact, much like the real Oregon Trail, the video game, pretty easy. Not that hard a thing to do.
That's true. Even a banker from Boston can do it.
If even a banker from Boston can do it, so can you.
If even a racist banker can do it, I'm pretty sure anyone can do it.
Look, think just because they're from Boston. God damn, Adrian. Think about it this way. I could do it. It's so easy. I could go to the airport right now, buy a plane ticket to go to Oregon. It's not that hard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going to go to Independence so that you could then do the trail. But no, you're just like, I go to Oregon right now. Yeah. And, you know, my no cap is, if you ever need help crossing a river, can't go wrong with asking a native person, even though you shouldn't rely on them to do everything for you. But you can ask them for help.
Adrian's saying, pay them fairly. Offload your work onto POC. Okay.
Not what I'm saying. This advice is only for my fellow POCs.
Oh, okay.
You got to look out for each other.
Bye.
Bye.